Hi, everyone. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being here. Special hello, shout out to Bonnie out in the UK. Sorry about the camera there. Many of you, rather than using the comments section on this channel, email me privately at tlksylvain@gmail.com. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. I do my best to respond to everyone who emails me that way. I consider it very much our sangha, whether we can comment through comments on the specific YouTube videos or directly one-to-one. Those communications are, I believe, the proof of Shakyamuni's teachings that we grow in our practice, in our confidence, in our profundity of understanding by sharing and asking questions of one another. And Bonnie, like many of us, is struggling with groups and sects around her and wanting to belong to a group because it's nurturing. And as a human being, that's what we want, but we're looking for like-minded people. They don't have to agree with everything we say, but certainly the basis of our understanding of the world has to be quite similar. And unfortunately, in our latter day, there are so many offshoots and misunderstandings. And as you know, my dedication on this channel is to free the scholarship of Nichiren on the practice of the Lotus Sutra from translation bias, the bias of cultural misunderstandings. And it comes out in the language, in the verbiage, and it's like a snowball. Once you start saying certain concepts that don't belong there from what you think will ingratiate a different culture or people to you, you start making missteps and misunderstandings, and pretty soon nobody knows what's really the root of understanding of Shakyamuni's teachings. There's a great history of that in the translation from Asian to Western thinking. In fact, even in Asia, from India to China, it's well documented that the Chinese, when they were confronted with the teachings of India from Shakyamuni, there were conceptual ideas that just they had no words for in China. So they had to, on one hand, create new words and extend the language in China, by creating new characters. I almost said pictograms, but you know the history of early ancient Chinese characters are really kind of an evolution of pictures and concepts and that sort, assembling them in a different way to create this understanding of the philosophy they were getting from Shakyamuni in India. Not during Shakyamuni's day, but the language barrier is that. It's a way of trying to understand a concept from another language, communicative tool of another culture, another thinking, and conceptualize it in your frame of reference. There's always a danger when you do that. And Shakyamuni knew this. He knew this is why one of the reasons he promoted that we should study all of Buddhist scholarship as well as non-Buddhist, which for that time was didn't include Christianity and Islam and all of that. But what he was saying is within the scholarship of my sermons, and then there are commentaries on those sermons and other schools of thought outside of Buddhism from Hindu Brahmanist scripture and so forth. This is what he was saying is you need to investigate all of this so that you can then see with all of that knowledge that you will gain for yourself through your own insights what the root, the profundity is of what's being taught, and not be halted or stymied by the words themselves, because they can get in the way. Well, he was prescient, because over the years throughout China and then, Korea, Burma, Japan, everywhere that Buddhism spread, this kept happening, right? And there was this constant intellectual scholarly battle of sorts to rein in the influences of cultural misunderstandings to get back to the root of the actual meaning of Shakyamuni's teachings. And the same thing is happening today, but today the proliferation of misinformation is so vast, just because of the way we disseminate information today. I mean, do I need to mention cell phones, internet, but even the printing press and language being taught to the common people, something that didn't exist a few hundred years ago. So certainly thousands of years ago, and even in Nietzsche's day, and there was a lot of co-opting of Nietzsche's ideas in his name to create national political movements and so forth. So there's always this to battle in our understanding of Buddhism and the Buddhist method, the ultimate method being the Lotus Sutra. And so certainly with Nichiren, we find a plethora of sects, sectarian authoritarianism, claiming to be the correct sect. I'm not interested in following sects or groups and organizations, because my experience has been that the primary concern of organizations and sects is that they turn everything into religion, number one, which Buddhism is not. Primarily they are designed to support the organization first. Not the membership, not the students, not the scholars, but the first thing we must do is prop up this organization. And then in order to hang on to that propped up organization financially, we need to make it teleological. We need to make this organization the source of information. See, there's that authoritarianism creeping back in. Buddhism is an individual practice, because we don't get our Buddha mind from someone. It isn't bequeathed to us. It isn't a certificate we gain, or that we're that has to come through a certain authority in order to be genuine. You are genuine. Your Buddha is genuine, and only you can enlighten, awaken to it, and reveal it to yourself, because it's already there. So nobody can give you Buddha, nobody can take it from you, or put a system of testing in front of you in order for you to earn it? That's insane. That is so not Buddhism. And if you want to look at it societally, rather than a program of behavior amongst rules of behavior for assimilation into certain societal norms, Buddhism has nothing to do with that, other than Buddhism is about our own responsibility to our own awakened, enlightened nature. And by doing so, we become our highest potential, therefore a better being, a better human. And guess what? If everybody is working that way, then we have a better society, a better country, a better community. That's Buddhism. It starts with the individual. Ironically, that's very Aristotelian. Aristotle believed that good government began with the self. Once you can govern yourself well, then you can govern your family well, and from the family, the community, and from the community, the city-state, and then state, and the country. It grows from the individual number one first. It's not an imposition on how this behaves with those, behaves with that, succumbs to this, and is subservient to that. No. It all happens with you and I. Just like Buddhism. Your enlightenment is yours. Through your study, the insights are yours because they clear your path to your Buddha awakening. That doesn't belong to someone else. Nobody knows what's in your mind. Only you do. And to the degree that we do, we learn more and more, teach ourselves more and more through this practice. Because we don't know our mind. We being samsaric identities. Our true, our maximal potential mind is our Buddha mind. And that's what we're working here to perceive. Not even develop, because it's already there. What we develop or train is our samsaric human mind to get out of the way so we can experience fully our Buddha. That's what Buddhist practice is, right? So sectarian stuff can really bring you down because it feels like, who can I talk to? Everyone I talk to is, you know, fushmulled, to use a Hollywood word, by these other influences. So we're going to constantly run into this wall of misunderstanding and start using the wrong language and attribute to other people or organizations the profundity of our own Buddha nature. What an incredible betrayal to our own Buddhahood. And when you know this, when you see this, and you reach out to other Buddhists that are Buddhists in name only, because the way they think, their worldview that's cultivated from this misshapen idea of what Buddhism is, and certainly Nichiren doctrine, not Nichiren Buddhism. We practice Shakyamuni's Buddhism. There is only one Buddhism. Nichiren's scholarship and doctrine is about the Lotus Sutra, which is a sermon of Shakyamuni's, his ultimate sermon. He says so right in the sermon. So there's no miscommunication here. It's directly from the sutra. And Nichiren is our greatest scholar in our age of that teaching. So, that's what we practice here. Unadulterated by translation bias. By that I mean the great scholars who've spent hundreds of years translating these sermons, and certainly Nichiren's letters and teachings, who've all, in the verbiage, inculcated, force shoehorned their limited understanding of the mental process. Constantly going the route of religion with words like faith and words like benefits and blessings. Oh, there's a word, I can't stand that. Blessing, who's blessing you? You are. That's not a blessing. That's a self-actualization. That's a closest thing maybe you could come to is a reward, right? But it's a reward not given to you. It's a reward you achieve. Actually, we should call it an achievement. Maybe I'll change. I've been trying to redress the language of all this scholarship, and it's so hard to catch every instance of everything. That's why I've been republishing the letters in the Gosho of Nichiren that I've assembled from different sects and groups, and I've tried to strip away that translation bias. It doesn't belong there. But I also chant a great deal to choose words that are less charged or diverging and more staying to the scholarship of Buddhism itself. And I'm still working on it. This is part of my venture to go through every Go show that can lay my hands on and speak to you, because it helps me see in each Go show where those trigger words are that are completely ricocheting your mind off into La La Land. They don't belong in Buddhism. And I'm constantly correcting them. So you can find them on lulu.com, where I have my bookstore. Just know that it's an active thing. I'm constantly re-editing, revisiting, and adjusting the language so that it's free of that outside bias, that it represents most accurately the thought process of Nichiren and Lotus Sutra and Shakyamuni. Having said all of that, thanks again, Bonnie, for our recent discussions on that. I feel you, I empathize with you, and it's just a note to all of us, I consider this our sangha, even though we're not face-to-face, and we're dealing with the internet and recorded things through emails between you and I. We can bond and bring that sense of kinship, community, as a sangha, as study partners in our practice, our studentship, all of us together, growing together, challenging one another, getting to the core of this practice, how to expand this practice, how to achieve greater insight, right? I don't want to make the comments and the emails about debating who's right and who's wrong. Although that we're humans, that arises, I really want to shift that focus to how does this work for me? How do I, in my experience, alter my thinking so that I can maximize my benefit from these studies? Right? And that's spawned a lot of videos that I've put on this channel. A lot of the videos that I put on this channel, if not all, that are specific to, you know, Hinayana versus Mahayana, what does Namo Myoho-renge-kyo mean, or how do we use a Gohonzon, how do we chant to it, what's the proper mindset? All of those videos that aren't direct sutra discussions or Gosho discussions, those come out of your questions and my own, right? So that's the sangha. For me, that is the expression exactly of what Shakyamuni told us to do. If you can't find a group that you can feel Itai Doshin with, many in body, one in mind, to study correctly the teachings of Shakyamuni, then it becomes your burden. You must study even harder in order to deepen your confidence and expand your resolve for your own enlightenment. You cannot be deterred by not finding those commensurate people, that sangha. And actually, I think we're having a great welling up in our times. Our times in the latter day, they're getting more and more crazy all the time. And I think this great opportunity of an internet provides us a new way of creating a sangha that now amongst our sangha, we have members in Taiwan and in all over Europe, the UK, Croatia, Hawaii, Canada, Mexico, Portugal, Brazil, Argentina, Alaska, which is almost like its own country, Estonia, I can't remember all the places, Spain, France, of course, China, Japan, I think I remember someone from Korea contacting me, I can't remember all the countries, but we're everywhere. Our Sangha is the world. So when you and I communicate with one another, understand that this communication is participated in throughout the entire world. Our Sangha is broad indeed. We may be relatively small in number, but we're constantly growing. And our influence will bring the Sangha to us. So have confidence in that. And in the meantime, study, email me. Let's grow this Sangha. Let's grow this propagation. Let's take on Nichiren's mission and ensure that Shakyamuni's true teachings of the Lotus Sutra are propagated throughout Jambudvipa. That was Nichiren's whole life, right? Let's be that votary. And all of that leads into this very brief letter that Nichiren wrote to senior monks that were at where he started out his learning, his study of Buddhism, at Shechi-ji, is that what it's called? Shecho-ji? What was that temple called? Saicho-ji, yeah. So he writes this to Jokenbo and Jinjo-bo, two monks who he knew there. That temple, that organization became Pure Land, I believe. But he continued to speak with those monks and talk to those monks. He owes them a debt of gratitude for starting him on his scholarship path, teaching them Nichiren Buddhism. I think one of them converted, the other just remained there at Shecho-ji. But they were always friendly and in good terms. And this is a letter that Nichiren wrote to them, probably 1278. So this was in his retirement at Mount Minobu. It's called Flowering and Bearing Grain. So this must be about actual proof. Let's go ahead and get into it. He begins, "I have not heard from either of you since that time, but I was very pleased to learn that you had read at Kasagamori the two documents I wrote in the Kenji era in memory of the late Sage Dozenbo." So you may remember that a while back when I read that. And we discussed that. "If a tree is deeply rooted, its branches and leaves will never wither. If the spring is inexhaustible, the stream will never run dry. Without wood, a fire will burn out. Without earth, plants will not grow. I, Nichiren, am indebted solely to my late teacher, Dozenbo, for my having become the votary of the Lotus Sutra and my being widely talked about now, in both a good and bad sense. Nichiren is like the plant, and my teacher, the earth." So, this is a very heartfelt letter, not only for the passing away of his elder teacher, Dozenbo, but to his original place of learning and the other monks there, right? "The bodhisattvas of the earth have four leaders. The sutra says, quote, the first was called superior practices, which, as you'll recall, every now and again, Nichiren is referred to as, or refers to himself as, could I be bodhisattva superior practices? This is as he has grappled with his own identification as the votary of the Lotus Sutra, which he accepts in one way humbly and in another way very righteously, because he's much the votary of the Lotus Sutra. Was much needed in this day. And the fourth was called Bodhisattva Firmly Established Practices. If Bodhisattva Superior Practices appears in the latter day of the law, so must Bodhisattva Firmly Established Practices. In other words, we're all Bodhisattvas of the earth, so then the four leaders must also be here, right? The rice plant flowers and bears grain, but its spirit remains in the soil. This is the reason the stalks sprout to flower and bear grain once again. The rewards that Nichiren obtains from propagating the Lotus Sutra, or the achievements that Nichiren obtains from propagating the Lotus Sutra, will always return to Dozenbo. How sublime. So that's a very interesting statement. Again, I had to edit out the word blessings, which I will do in the reprint of this. But what he's saying in essence is that as we go through our learning, our self-teaching, and we have to honor and give credit to those places and people from which we gain our lessons, right? And conversely, as we gain achievement, reward from our practice, we experience actual proof, and we can observe our life condition improving throughout our practice, those rewards, those achievements, they energetically, as energy, go beyond our body, ourself, right? Because they're mental. They go beyond this body and mentally affect and benefit everything that brought us to this point, including our sangha, our fellow teachers. So as my practice strengthens, so does yours. As your practice takes a leap, so does everyone in the sanghas. And we do that by sharing in the comments, sharing through emails. If you share with me, I will get insight. My practice will grow, and I will share that with everyone in every way possible. But think of it as energy, as though life itself were some kind of a mist of little photons of life, and that each of us is a collection of, obviously brighter because of all the photons one of us contains. But if this group of photons that I call Sylvain brightens a little bit, well, so too does it affect this entire network of photons. It's a shared experience, although it's concentrated in individuals. There's no disconnect, and we're all connected, right? This is the same reason why sometimes we speak the condition of the world where really terrible things happen are personally felt because of that network. What's often referred to as the oneness, but I think that's has a lot of room for misinterpretation. Do you see what I'm saying? We're very much connected mentally, energetically, through our very particular makeup. And I mean that literally as a physicist. Particles are shared. Okay? It is, and this is why he says, how sublime is that? That's so on a level of, again, mist. It's not a really obvious thing other than our experience of it. An experience is a very real thing. Just because, you know, you hit your nail, your fingernail with a hammer, that's visible. That's a very physical thing. But the pain that you feel from it, although you can talk about neurons and all of that, the emotional, what you might call pain from it, although emotions are samsaric as well, what I'm saying is that situation has a non-body component. It has a trauma realization learning component. That component is what we all share. That is where our Buddha nature resides and what we need to open up and see, not emotionally, because emotions are from what? Attachments. That's a bodily thing. See, there's a lot of subtlety here, but let me read on before I get off track again. It is said that if a teacher has a good disciple, both will gain the fruit of Buddhahood. But if a teacher fosters a bad disciple, both will fall into hell. So, this is about sangha. This is about how we learn from one another. But remember that when we learn, we are our own teachers as well. So everything in Buddhism is our teacher as well as our student, because that's how we're connected. We interact. So in order for us to have an effective sangha, as Bonnie again would point out, if the teacher or the fellow student is teaching erroneous views to themselves, then our association with them affects and influences our self-teaching, because in our relationship, we're sharing this erroneous view. And so to have the sangha be effective, we need to counter, correct, or push away that erroneous view so that it does not affect and influence our practice. The symbiosis of teacher and student is what Nichiren is talking about here. If teacher and disciple are of different minds, they will never accomplish anything. I will elaborate on this point later. That'll be interesting. You should always talk with each other to free yourselves from the sufferings of birth and death and attain the pure land of Eagle Peak. And that is a statement of the ceremony in the sky, the entire sermon of Lotus Sutra, right? Where it is the culminating of Shakyamuni's teachings, the ultimate method for awakening or invoking our Buddha. Where you will nod to each other and speak in one mind. And there it is. Everything I tried to say before I started reading this. Amazing. The sutra reads, quote, before the multitude, they seem possessed of the three poisons or manifest the signs of distorted views. My disciples in this manner use expedient means to save living beings. It's through our discussions of everyday things that we gain the insights to Myoho Renge Kyo, to invoke our Buddha. Understand these matters in the light of what I've stated thus far. Respectfully, Nichiren, the fourth month in the first year of Koan, 1278, to Jokenbo and Jijobo. So, very interesting. Nice little note, a reminder of the importance of cultivating and being responsible for one's mind and those that we communicate with to create a symbiotic relationship to open, awaken, realize our Buddha, our maximal potential. This is the true governance of Buddhism, from self to other to self, and to honor and dignify that relationship with only correct information. We all make mistakes, but it's important that when we make mistakes, we realize them, we correct them, and we get back on track. And that's why there's so much in Nichiren's talk of, and Shakyamuni's, that when you see somebody going astray, it's for your own Buddha's sake, your responsibility to correct that, to address it. After that, it's the other person's responsibility to correct or to re-correct. You may make an assumption that you later find is incorrect. And if you haven't been corrected, then you have to be very humble in redressing that mistake, not only for yourself, but all of those you may have infected or influenced with that error, right? Yeah, Buddhism ain't easy. It's quite a practice. But it's also very exciting that we can continue to grow rather than stagnate and just fall through this life waiting for things to happen. We can be the masters of our own enlightenment. We're the only ones who can be the masters of that enlightenment. And that is the point. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you. Thank you. I hope with all that you understand how I can't express how deeply I appreciate your participation in these videos, in comments, in your emails. which I'm getting more of recently. It's very moving that you care so much about your awakening, your Buddhist practice, and the tremendous benefit that we all get from it. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I can't wait till the next one. Take care of your practice. Take care of your health. Take care of one another. And I'll see you soon. Bye.